Hello, this is Pastor Elijah Wells of the Wells of Living Water Ministry. Welcome to our podcast, which is a place to satisfy your thirst for the living word of God. Listen in and be blessed.
Stand on your feet. We're going to go ahead and minister the word of the Lord. Here's a word from the Lord. Amen. This morning. But before we do, we're going to make our confession regarding this Bible right here. Amen. Raise it high. Amen. Right now, with your Bible in your hand, you are armed. I'm talking about spiritually now. And dangerous. And when we take the words of the pages of this book and plant it in our hearts, then demons and devils tremble. And so the reason why we confess what we do is that the Bible very plainly teaches us that there are some spiritual things that are going on in the spiritual realm. And what we do and what we say affect the spiritual realm as well as the natural realm. So we don't do this as a formality or a formula or as a religious saying, but we're speaking truth about this book right here. When we confess, it is to agree with God by speaking it out, the truth of God's word, giving power to what has been said. Come on, raise your Bibles high. This is my Bible. This is the living word of God. I believe what it says. I act on what it directs. I stand on what it promises. I am saved by it. I am washed in it. I am filled because of it. I am empowered in it. I am sanctified by it. I am victorious in it. I am more than a conqueror because of it. And I have what it says I have. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my way. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the assurance by which I triumph in all things. Its promises says yes and amen. This is my sword by which I war by. It is the power of God by which I possess the things it declares. It is the revelation by which I know the truth. It is the shield by which I am protected. It is the weapon by which I am victorious. It is the word by which I am healed. It is the anointing by which I am delivered. It is my guard against all doubt, unbelief, and fear. It increases my faith and transforms my life. It renews my mind and spirit. It strengthens my heart. Regulates my thoughts and confessions. Translates my actions and behaviors. It saves my soul and makes me whole. It never comes back void, but it does what it says it will do. I believe it. I say it. I act on it. Therefore, I win. I possess. I conquer. And I take back what has been stolen from me. In Jesus' name, amen. As it has been said, so let it be done. You may be seated. Amen. It's been said. Let it be done. Touch your name and say, let it be done. Say, thy will, O Lord, be done. In Jesus' name, amen. On this message this morning, it's a basic foundational message about salvation and you and I being saved. But it's a little different in the sense that the Lord laid upon my spirit this morning to celebrate. Celebrate. Touch your name and say celebrate. Now, what is a celebration? We celebrate as a result of something, some event that may have happened in our life, and we want to celebrate what has happened. Now, what the Lord laid upon my heart this morning to do is to celebrate what God has done for you. What is that? He saved me. Touch your name and say, he saved me. That's what I want to preach about this morning. Simple text. He saved me. Because the Lord said we ought to celebrate because God has saved us. Hey, touch your neighbor again and say, he saved me. Let me read the text. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 8 through 10 says this. But God commended or demonstrated his love towards us. In that, watch it now, underline this next word. In that while, somebody say while. We, that's you and me, were yet sinners. Christ died for us. That means while we were still in sin, before we ever became who we are today, before we ever became minister so-and-so, and bishop so-and-so, and deacon so-and-so, and choir member so-and-so, and usher so-and-so, and member so-and-so, God loved us. Hallelujah. Before we ever became born again, God saw something in us. And so he invested in you and me a long time ago. Verse 9, and much more then now being justified, how? By his blood. Touching him, say, by his blood. By his blood. The Bible says that we shall be saved from, we've been saved from something to something. He saved us from the penalties of sin because the Bible says there's no exception. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so therefore, God in justice demanded a penalty for sin, and the penalty of sin is death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have something to celebrate this morning because Jesus, by his own blood that he shed on Calvary for you and me, even before we ever became saved, while we were still in sin, he still loved us as his hand of blessing was still on our lives, even before we ever said yes to Jesus. That's enough to praise him. That means he looked over and beyond the things that we did, the things that we said. God looked beyond us and said, that's all right. I got a plan for her. I got a plan for him. The Bible said, much more then being justified, how? By the blood of Jesus. The Bible said, we shall be saved from the wrath, from the penalties of sin. It's because of Jesus, and it is through him and him only. And verse 10 goes on to say, for if, when we were enemies, that's what the Bible says, we were enemies. Before we became born again, we were warring against God. We were fighting against him and didn't even know it. The Bible said we were enemies, and the Bible said, but we were reconciled. That's an important word, my brothers and sisters. We've been reconciled. It's because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross that caused you and me, amen, gave access that we can be reconciled back unto God, and then therefore what? Have peace with God. You ever hear the saying, to be right with God? See, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, then it's because of what Jesus Christ did when he shed his precious blood on the cross, made access that we can come to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? So therefore, we have now been reconciled back unto God. And how is it? It's by the death of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. Why is it so important for the Christian? It is because Jesus died for you and me. Verse 10. Goes on to say, and much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, that's enough to celebrate. For the rest of our life, if we just remember what Jesus Christ did for us and remember that now we are saved, we have enough to shout about until the Lord comes back again. Sometimes we treat God kind of like the song, What Have You Done For Me Lately? If God has done something for us, we can praise him. But if it seems like he's silent, then we can't praise him. But God have done something for us that we can praise him for the rest of our life because he saved me. Touching him, say, he saved me. He saved me. See, we don't have to wait till we get to church to praise the Lord. We don't have to wait till we get to church to celebrate. You can celebrate right in your living room. You can celebrate in your car. You can celebrate in the lunchroom. In the lunchroom. I said in the lunchroom. Don't be ashamed. You ought to praise the Lord, but I said in the lunchroom. Why did I say the lunchroom? Because you on the job and you've been hired to give your employer 8 hours. Come on. I know the Lord has called you to evangelize. He called all of us to evangelize. But if you're around the office 7 of the 8 hours of the day, come on, at everybody's desk,
then you are not being honest, because God wants you to walk in honesty, because you are an example. You are God's representative, and people are watching you. If you're away from your desk 7 hours out of 8, because you're getting paid for 8 hours, not 7, what I'm trying to say is there's a time for everything. So no harm in praising the Lord. Praise God. So even in the lunchroom, you ought to praise the Lord. You ought to be thankful, and you ought to celebrate what he has done for you. That's something we should always remember. Amen. It always need to be on the forefront of our mind and in our spirit and in our heart. What the Lord have done for us is that he saved me. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, and it's through the passage of time, and then the reason why I'm going back, amen, I'm talking about going back, is for those who have already been saved, and for those who have not been saved, it's a good opportunity today, amen, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and it's by choice, amen, hallelujah. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And any gift is just something that is extended unto you, amen, that must be accepted. We understand about gifts, don't we? Christmas roll around every year. Amen. Somebody waiting on Christmas right now. I ought to hear a resounding amen. Christmas is on its way. So we certainly understand about gifts. We give gifts on Christmas, right? And freely is given. Who in here gives a gift on Christmas and expect a price for it? It's a free gift. And my brothers and sisters, just like we jump up and shout and receive that gift on Christmas, we do the same thing when we say yes to Jesus. All we're doing is receiving that free gift of salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we got something to celebrate. So in this text this morning, we have the Apostle Paul, who makes a very important statement about our salvation. He says that God has commended, God has extended, God has demonstrated, God has displayed, God has showed you and me his love towards each of us. Hallelujah. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his patience. He's been patient with each of us. He did not grant unto us what we deserve, but he showed us his love. The Bible said, then, therefore, God commended his love towards you and me. In that what, Lord? While we were yet sinners. While we were sinners. He didn't wait till we became born again and start loving us. He loved us well before we ever said yes to Jesus. So when you go back, if you ponder and go back in life before you ever became saved, and all those miraculous, awesome demonstrations of his power and his love, where he delivered us and saved us and protected us out of things. In some cases, he kept us from ourselves. When the enemy would have destroyed you, he kept you. It is because his hands of mercy was upon you and that he had a plan for you. Maybe you didn't see it. Maybe your neighbor didn't see it. Maybe your family members didn't see it. Maybe your loved ones didn't, but God saw it. He saw it a long time ago before you ever said yes to him. For while we were yet sinners, my Bible said Christ died for me. And so my brothers and sisters, Christ, Jesus Christ, his death was a substitutionary death. What does that mean? That means when he died on the cross, the Bible said he shed his precious blood and he died for many. That means he died for you and me. What that means when I say substitution or substitutionary means simply what? Substitution. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, he stood in your stead and in my stead. In other words, he stood in your position and in my position. In other words, he took on the penalties of your sins and my sins when he hung on that cross and died. In other words, he substituted you for himself. That's enough to celebrate. Come on, come on. I said, that's enough to celebrate. And he stood in our stead. He took the punishment that we deserved for sin, and he bore it on the cross. And because of his death, we are now justified and we have been made right for an almighty God. It's not about religion, but it's about relationship. And when you say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we simply just open up our heart and let him in. And it's because of his death we are justified and we're saved. And so we're going to have a praise celebration this morning. You ought to go ahead right now and praise God for what he's already done for you. You ought to praise him. You ought to celebrate. See, come on, come on. We haven't always been saved. We've gone to party. We celebrated. We didn't even have nothing to celebrate about. But now we got something to celebrate. So we ought to go ahead and praise him right now. Amen, 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 amen. We're going to serve no notice to the devil that we are downright glad. that he saved me. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he saved you. So what does that mean? It means that because of what Jesus did for you, we now have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. And our Heavenly Father in a very real way. Is there anybody in this place who are glad that he chose you? Are you glad he was patient with you when others did not understand and criticize you because they did not understand you? Are you really grateful that he saved you? Well, somebody then therefore should make some noise in this place. I'm talking about real noise from real believers who've really been born again. Talking about people who know with great certainty that they've been changed. Every once in a while, we need to go back. We need to ponder on where the Lord have brought us from. Come on, we haven't always been saved. Is that right? Before you ever became who you are now, God saw something in you when others could not. Or even when you didn't even see it yourself. You see, God knows things about you before we know. He sees all and he knows all. He was before all things, and there's nothing that was made that he did not create. And before you knew him, he knew you. Touch your neighbor and say amen. The Bible says before he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew you. Oh, glory to God. He said he knew you before he formed you. That means before you even a thought with your mother and your father, God knew you and had a plan for your life. That's enough to celebrate. Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's enough to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And so you are no accident. No, you're no accident. Maybe mama and maybe daddy may not have planned for you, but you're no accident. God knew it a long time ago that you would be born into this world. No, God had a divine plan for your life even before you were saved. And so along with you, my brothers and sisters, I'd like to say I'm glad that he saved me. Yes, I'm glad that he saved me. Many people mistakenly believe that they got to where they are today because of their own accomplishments. You know, I'm educated. I got 5 degrees. I got $1 million. No, I got $1 billion in the bank. And I did it on my own. Bible said, be careful. For the day you believe that it was your own that got you there, then the Lord just might say, like he said to the rich man, today, I'm requiring of thee. You can't take the money with you. You can't take the house with you. You can't take the 5 degrees with you. Come on, somebody say amen. It's all because of Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. I said it's all because of Jesus. So we didn't do it on our own. We can't even get up in the morning. Woo, hallelujah. I wonder if you get up in the morning, just listen, you hear something like, and if that's not enough to know that God is real, just listen, just listen, just listen, just listen in the morning. You hear something go, that's life. That's not enough. Just listen. Just listen. You heard? You hear something? Do you hear that in the morning? Amen. That's evidence that God is real. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. He's real. Yeah. Yes, he is. Yeah. Why do the birds sing in the morning? Yeah. It's because he's real. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I said he's real. We got something to celebrate. So, amen, despite, amen, mistaken belief, we didn't do it on our own. But the truth is that God not only had his hands on us, but that he loved us. Amen, because had he not loved us, we would have been gone a long time ago. Amen. We went through what you went through as a little boy or as a little girl for a reason. Yet God kept you in the midst of even some traumatic experience when the enemy tried to destroy you. Come on, somebody say amen. Before you can come into purpose in life. And so he saved you and he saved me. Amen. And that's good news. He saved you and he saved me for what could have happened. Come on, somebody say amen. When you was on that freeway, hallelujah, and those cars start hitting their brakes and flipping over, amen, and you came right close, amen, right at the point of contact and your car stopped, he saved you from what? What could have happened? Come on, somebody say amen. I said he saved you from what could have happened. He saved you from would have happened. He saved you from what should have happened. Hallelujah. And he saved you from what might have happened. And yet he kept you and me from being destroyed or from going off the deep end. And in some cases, he kept you from losing your mind. If anybody had to endure what you went through, then they would have given up a long time ago. But God saw fit to set you aside for his glory and for his purpose. He kept us. Touching them, say, he kept me. I don't know about you, but he kept me. I heard somebody say, he kept me too. Yes, he did. Yeah, this is a celebration. Because he kept us. Simply because God has a plan for your life. You could have been dead and sleeping in your grave. So many people didn't make it. But, somebody say, but. Had it not been for God's grace, where would you and me be today? Hallelujah. Somebody praise the Lord. Yes. He loved you. So the Bible says, when a man, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, my brothers and sisters, he loved you when you and I denied him. He loved you when you were kicking and scratching and fighting him. He loved you when you were out of control and living life like there was no tomorrow. He loved you while you were unkind to those around you and even disliked yourself. He loved you. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Now that we are saved, the Lord has given us a second chance. We need to give others the same opportunity like he did us. Sometimes we forget that we were once where someone else may be. So we can't become so holy and self-righteous that we forget that God looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. And for those whom the Lord have saved, don't take it for granted. God's mercy. For while he is extending his mercy and his grace towards you, you ought to get in a hurry to serve him. Because you don't have the time that you think that you have. Oh, come on, somebody say amen. You see, you ought to, my brothers and sisters, get in a hurry to draw closer to him. You ought to get in a hurry to learn more about him. You ought to get in a hurry to praise him greater. You ought to get in a hurry to worship him deeper. You ought to get in a hurry to pursue him with greater vigor and greater tenacity. See, my brothers and sisters, 50 years ago, it was okay to take 15 to 20 years to grow towards full maturity. But in the age that we're living in today, you don't have 20 years towards maturity. Can I get a witness? And so I have a word for you this morning, my brothers and sisters. God is going to put you on a fast track towards maturity. Come on, somebody say amen. Because God needs you right now. Somebody say right now. And so he put a greater desire in you to pursue him and all of his will and all of his way. He's removing the desires for those things that would have hindered your progress. And so when he does that, don't fight it. Touching him, say don't fight it. Don't fight it. Touching him, say don't fight it. God is working a work in you. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he directs. And so my brothers and sisters, amen. We cannot fail to give him the praise. And then, my brothers and sisters, we have to give others the right and the opportunity to be saved also. come on, and to grow too. Don't do like the man in the parable who was forgiven of great debt that he had. For in the parable, the Bible says there was a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. But for as much as he had not the money to pay, the Bible says his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all that I owe. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, which is what God wants us to have as well, loosed him and forgave him of the debt. Can you see the picture? God, amen, loosed us of all the debt. He had compassion on you and me, hallelujah, and forgave us. But the tragedy is, as the story went on, the Bible says, but the same servant, touch your name and say same servant. Same servant found one of his fellow servants who owed him just 100 pence. Not 10,000 talents, but 100 pence. The Bible says he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat. Now that's pretty serious. He was just forgiven of his debt. Now we laugh at that, and that does seem a little hilarious that he was just forgiven of all the debt that he owed. And yet he was merciless. He went and grabbed the one that owed him some money. How quickly did he forget what God have done for him? And how many times people forget what God have done for us? And so we don't have the patience. Amen. We don't have the self-control. We don't have the love. We don't have all the things that is necessary to be patient with others like he was patient with us. Come on. He took him by the throat. Shook him. You see the picture. Said, pay me every last dime. See, sometimes we look like that in the church. I said, sometimes we look like that in the church. Come on, somebody praise the Lord. Amen. Pay me every dime that you owe me. But we can't forget that we've been forgiven. And just as we have been forgiven, we have to be willing to what? Forgive others. Let me just say this and I'll move on. The Bible says, so he went and cast him into the prison, talking about the one that God had forgiven. Amen. I'm sorry. And he said, and his servants fell down on his feet and besought him the same way. He said, have patience on me and I'll pay you everything I owe. He said, no, hold on a minute here. He said, and he cast him into prison. Amen. Till all of his debt was paid. Word got back to the Lord. Amen. The Bible said, then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, if we can't remember what God have done for us, and extend that same love to somebody else. Listen, whether they're in the church, come on, or out of the church. We don't have the right or the luxury, whether people are in the church or out of the church, to mistreat people. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Not only that, but we are God's representatives. Praise the Lord. So we must never forget what he has done for us. You see, when I was lost, he loved me. When you were lost, he loved you and he saved you. And even in my mess, God had a plan for my life and your life. Even before he saved you, he loved you. Even in my sin, Jesus loved me and he died for me. What about you? Come on, think about it for a minute. The Bible said, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and me. What that means is this. While we were walking on the street, while you were in the crack house, while you were mistreating your mother and abuse your brother. Come on. While we were laying with that man or that woman that was not even your wife, God still loved you. While you were fornicating and committing adultery. While you were unlovable and even family did not want to have anything to do with you. Jesus still loved you. While you had that needle in your arm and that blunt in your mouth, God loved you. Come on, somebody say amen. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, I know I'm not talking about anybody in here. I'm just painting a picture. I'm not talking about anybody here, right? But then one thing is for sure, all have sinned and come short. Maybe you didn't have a blunt in your mouth, but you did something that displeased the Lord. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Touch your answer. He saved me. He sure enough saved us. Praise God. We can celebrate. He saved us. Amen. He saved us. That's enough to praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise him in this place. Thanks be unto God that he saved us. Thank God for the power of the cross. Touch your name and say, he saved me. Yes, he saved me. And that's enough to shout about. That's enough to get up and run around this building for. That's enough to be willing to change our ways. That's enough to get rid of those things that would tend to draw us back into that old way of living. Sometimes, amen, we cannot forget that Jesus Christ accepted us and received us. We need to celebrate what he has done. Hallelujah. I'm glad today. I'm glad today that he saved me. How about you? Amen. Now, I got to say this and I'm going to close. I got to just say that. I got to paint this picture. Is this. We're celebrating now what the Lord Jesus have done. Praise the Lord. He saved us. But I am reminded, my brothers and my sisters, over in St. Luke, 13th chapter. Praise the Lord. Everybody are familiar with the parables? Well, what's a parable? That's right. Say that again. Amen. So God gives us a description. He paints a picture, amen, of something that we can relate to and understand today. It's an earthly picture, but it has a divine heavenly meaning. And in the parable, it says, "As a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I am seeking fruit on this tree and found none. Cut it down. Why allow it to cumber the ground? And he said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall have digged about it and placed fertilizer around it. And if it bear fruit, well, Lord. But if not, then afterwards thou shalt cut it down." Praise the Lord. What am I getting here? The Lord saved us, but he saved us for a reason. He didn't just save us to say, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. But he saved you and me for a reason. All we have to do is take a look, amen, at this text. Take a look at the parable, amen, of the fig tree. Take a look at the owner. He began with this, precious seeds. Giving an indication of you and me, we are precious seeds. I got to say this. I know the hour's late, but I have to say this. Can I say it? Precious seed. Somebody say precious seed. God chose a special place on this earth to plant it and care for it as it grew. He placed a hedge around it to guard it from the trampling of men. This gives picture not unlike what God have done for you and me. He began with a precious seed and planted you here on this earth. Now, I need to put a comma here. And say, my brothers and sisters, we need to go back to what we understand as the sanctity of life. Now, I'm not talking about politics, but I'm talking about sanctity of life. What does that mean? We understand the importance of life. Every life on this earth, God has given it. I say God has given it. Every life that the Lord plants here on this earth were planted by God. And so no man, somebody say no man, has the right to take another man's life simply because he's angry or the person has something of value that they want. We need to understand, amen, that all life is valuable in God's sight. And no matter who we are or where we come from. But when the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, amen, he said it's good. And then he planted us in a particular place, amen, a particular place. He planted you in a particular family with a particular parents in a particular time in history. You could have been born 15, 20 years ago. You could have been born 100 years ago. But God chose such a time that you are here at this time, at this moment, for a reason. Amen. Come on, somebody. So all I want to say is this. Not only did he save you, but then let me say this, my brothers. He expects something of you. Notice what happened with the owner after he planted the seed. Not only did he care for it like he cared for you and me, not only did he protect it, he put a hedge around it like he's been protecting you all of your life. Come on, somebody say amen.
And so what happened? He came back and he looked, expecting something from that tree. He expecting something out of you and me, my brothers and sisters. Spiritual development, spiritual growth, ongoing progress, a progression. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I just want to say this. You should be further along now than you were 5 years ago. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody say amen. In the parable of the fig tree, the owner expected growth. He expected productivity. He expected fruit of his valued investment. You see, God didn't call you and me to be a plant. Neither did he plant you and me to be a bush. He didn't plant you to be a cactus. Or he didn't plant you, my brothers and sisters, to be anything else but a tree. Somebody say a tree. Pastor, is that right? Yes. For the Bible says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth.
Well, I pray that this episode has been a blessing to you. I want to hear from you. Please send any letters to Pastor Elijah Wells, P.O. Box 922228, that's 4-2-N-8, Sylmar, California, 91342. Again, that's Pastor Elijah Wells, P.O. Box 922228, Sylmar, California, 91342. While you're at it, please include a love gift to help support this ongoing ministry, to touch the lives of those seeking to know the Lord. You also can go to our website at valleybrien.org. That's valleybrien.org. Thank you for your support.